Y'all ready for the word? And grab your Bibles and let's start at Mark 11. And then I'll come back to Mark 11 shortly. Amen. So stand to your feet. We're going to read a little bit. And then we'll go to one other place and see what the Lord got to say. How many of you revisited the word for last week? Because we're just building on it. If you didn't, shame on you. If you did, you're probably growing. Put 1 Timothy 6 up there first, though. If you ain't under the word, you ain't growing. Do you hear me? And that's a lot of people's problem as they start struggling in ministry. They want to be their own pastor. So we be preaching our 1 Timothy, and they be talking about the two prophets in Revelation. It's a wrong book. Whatever's being taught, that's what's relevant to you. Have a daily reading plan if you got something like that to go to the Bible. But if we in the book of Matthew, you shouldn't be in Zechariah. And then you wonder why people wonder why they're not growing. They trying to be their own pastor. I'm not my own pastor, Sister Palmer. I got a pastor. And when she preaches, I watch her every Sunday when I come home because I got a pastor. So people be trying to be their own pastor, their own development, and then they getting weaker and weaker, weaker and weaker because they will not get a book. They think they deserve another word sometime. Say, what you hearing is what you're supposed to be eating. And sometimes this explains division in churches. It's the same principle in Helms. It's Holmes. If you and Brandon working off two different books, then how y'all think y'all going to walk together? How can two walk together, at least they be in agreement? How can a church really gel if you in the book of Hezekiah and we in the Bible? You're not going to jail as nobody, right? You're going to feel disconnected because this word is an engrafted word. And in your church, it's designed to pull you together in the place where God wants y'all as a body. So you feel outside of the covenant because you are. Tell somebody it don't pay to do your own thing. Say it like you mean it. You ain't, don't be scared of them in church. They're not going to hit you. Say it don't pay to do your own thing. And that'd be people's problem in churches. They'd be trying to do their own thing, and they'd be getting weaker and weaker. Your mama cooks steak, you want cornflakes. And then you wonder why you losing weight and everybody else just says plump. 1 Timothy 6, he says, fight, this is Paul talking to me, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And we talked about last week, the devil wants a witness. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for your word. Think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified, you be glorified after hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Father, I decrease that you may increase, and we give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Clap your hand as you take your seat. So I'm not going to be long, I don't think. But we talked about last week, let me give you a quick recap and then we'll go right in. We talked about the devil after people's witnesses. And we were talking about from the thought that you can prophesy into darkness and you can control your spiritual life. And a lot of things that's just happening in people's lives is because they are silent when they should be speaking and talking when they should be quiet. Hebrews 4:12 talks about that the word of God is quick, is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a two-edged sword, right? The revelation behind the two-edged sword is, watch this, your tongue can edify you or it can work against you. It's two-edged. So there's time when you need to keep your mouth shut because you're working with the wrong end of the sword and it can bring destruction in your life. I'm not going to talk against myself. I'm not going to talk against my family or my church. I'm definitely not going to be talking against my pastor, somebody who's supposed or anybody supposed to be feeding me. Say amen, oh my. It's a two-edged sword. And a lot of time what's showing up in people's lives, they be giving credit to the devil for it, Sister Davis, but really they tongue created that. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. And that's why Jesus says, by your words, you're going to be justified, and by your words, you're going to be condemned. As long as I don't start speaking against myself because you're speaking against me, I don't see what you said. Your words really can't really hurt me to that capacity. Are you following me? But when I start saying what you're saying, then my words start working against me. I'm either going to be justified or I'm going to be condemned. But many times, we don't work with the right side of the sword. We're talking against things and we're talking against people, and really because we don't see it like it's we're speaking prophecy, and we're doing it all the time. We're doing it all the time. And you know, I'll explain what makes us. You know, we created in God's image, in His likeness, after His kind. No other creature on the planet is created like that. None, not even a parrot. They can't do what you do. And what makes you like God is one what? One, you can't die. You are a spirit. You will live eternally in heaven or hell. You can't die. You transition from this life, but you can physically, you can physically die, but you will never die because you're really a spirit. Living in a body with a soul, but you never gonna die. And that's why you don't play around with your eternal life. That's why Paul tells Timothy, lay hold of it. Don't be thinking you got time because you're young. Young people are dying every day at a more rapid rate because they so reckless. They say dumb stuff like you only live once. No, if you die and you had the ability to comprehend and a chance to receive Jesus, when you wake up, you're gonna be in hell. You don't just live once. You live more than once, Sister Keenan. And so we be playing around like we got time. You know, like last week, some of y'all, God told you to repent last week. You keep on messing around. 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 Like nobody's talking to you. You keep on messing around. I'm not threatening you. I'm just telling you what I know because he done brought it to my mind too many times this week. You call yourself posturing against me. You're not posturing against me. You're posturing against the Holy Ghost. You keep on messing around because you done had chances, more than enough chances. So we want to make sure we're using our vocal capacity and our things. We can speak into darkness. He called them out of darkness. When you want to call something positive or call an individual out of darkness, you start prophesying them out. You start calling them your direction. You don't run in behind them. That's your biggest mistake. That's a lot of people's mistake. They think they're going to move back to a neighborhood that God delivered you from when you was all bound up in there, and you think you're going to go get somebody free. You're going to be right back in bondage again, back in them sticks, them woods over there where you come from. You can call them out of darkness where you at. You can get up in the mornings and get on your faith and start prophesying to them. But, you know, I'm Pastor Jay, in many cases, a lot of time people be in sickness or whatever, and they'll say they in recoverable condition or they in some coma, and she'll say, start calling them. Start calling their name. They in there. No, we're not in the same location. What she got a revelation. I can call you out of darkness. I can call you out of cave. I can call you out of death. I can call you out of disease. What is she doing? Prophesying them out of their condition. No, God is prophesying and calling some of you out of that negative condition that you in. Your life is getting ready to make a rapid shift, a rapid change for the better, not the worse, for the better. And things that's been working against you going to certainly start working together for your good. Things that have been opposed to you are going to start being a slave to you and start working for you. Say, come on, Jesus. They're going to start benefiting you. So you have to use your, you got to concentrate. You got to be disciplined. You got to put forth some effort. We talked, if you plan on winning, we talked about last week that when you're doing these things, the devil will try to embed stuff into your spirit and you got to resist that. Say resist it three times. And then you have to understand the revelation that you are created like God. And we had a great example of him using Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37 to demonstrate to us how to do it. So this week, let's go to Mark 11. Let's go to Mark 11. Because God had put in my heart that some of you are under some hardship. And he said, whatever adversity is that you're going through, the Lord says that you're not just to take it. That you're not just to sit there and take it. Some storms, you don't just sit there and try to buckle down under. You move through that thing as quickly. Some storms are destructive. If you call yourself going to drop an anchor, you know, you ever been in a storm and that hill be coming down? You don't stop in the middle of that junk. If you can see, you keep on moving and you try to get past it as quick as you can. Because you don't just wait till the storms pass. Sometimes you, especially if it's demonically designed, you got to learn how to get through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley, I'm walking through difficulty. I'm walking through adversity. I'm going to fear no evil. Other people have went through the same thing that I went through, and they made it out of this storm. If I can follow their lead, say follow the lead, you can make it out too. So he says, stop assuming, watch this, that there's nothing you can do. You created like God. You're not God, but you created like him. Stop assuming there's nothing you can do. I done done everything. I done done everything that I know to do. Have you been praying? Yeah, I've been praying. I done done everything that I know to do. Did it change? No, it didn't change. It's been the same old stuff. Then you ain't done everything that you could do. You have not done everything that you can do. And stop assuming. Say, I'm going to stop assuming. That's nothing I can do. In essence, sometimes you got to figure out how to stand up for yourself naturally and spiritually. You can't just let the devil keep trumping you. Because you'll say, I've been beat down in the past. Did you live? Yeah, then that means you got through it. Amen. Say amen to this. You can look at your life and you can say, I've tried to no avail. Well, try again. I tried again. Try again. Did it work? Well, keep trying until you get a victory. God has given you the victory. You might not have arrived at it yet. Some of you, your position is getting ready to change, though. He moving you to a place that if you'll follow God lead, when you get in front of the door is going to open for you automatic. You finna walk into some automatic. You've been at the wrong type of doors. You need to stand in front of the right door, and when you get to the right door, say it's automatic, baby. It's going to open. Why? God is showing you that his spirit is powerful, that he can do all things. Say all things. So he sent me here this morning to tell somebody, God said, I got a purpose for you. Because God has a purpose for you, that means there's only so much the devil can do to you. That you are secure in some regards in God. But there's still things that you have to do. Some of them are natural things. Some of them are spiritual things. And you got to know when to use what. They work together. Say they work together. See, many times people need to be up doing natural things and they be like Moses. They be on their face, calling themselves, going to intercede and pray. And God say, all you had to do was go. All you had to do was go over there. All you had to do, Moses, was stick your rod out and walk on the cross. Boy, get up off your face. This ain't no time to pray. You should have prayed before you got here. I mean, you understand? Sometimes we be trying to be so spiritual and the thing that triggers our transformation or our out is something natural. So you got to know how to use what when. You have to know how to use when what. So he says you got a purpose and you're secure in here. Say, I'm secure in God. And that's why Paul the apostle says, Paul says in Romans 8:31, he says, if God is for me. You ever heard that one? Who can be against you? Do you know what? Some translations read it like this. Since God is for me. Since God is for me, who or what can be against me? How can I be defeated since God is for me? You could be the worst basketball player on the team, but if you're on Jordan's team, you're probably coming out with a W. You can be a scrub. You can never get no playing time, but when they win, you get a ring also. Since God is for you, you your ring, coming out with a W. You're coming out with a victory. You're coming out being a winner. Since God, say, God is for me. God is for me. So anytime you're in a difficult situation, breakout is right there with you. Your breakout is right there with you. That's why you should never hold back on praise. Because if you really believe it, then you start acting like it. You ever really had a serious check or a direct deposit about to hit? I mean, it changes your attitude. It don't matter that it didn't hit Monday. My attitude and my mind is focused on I know it's going to arrive. It don't matter if they said it got delayed or something happened or there was a glitch in the system. I'll get up the next week and I got the same expectation because this my house payoff money right here. I'm joyous. I know that it's going to happen. It don't change my mindset because it's delayed. When you really believe God is going to do something for me, it changes your attitude. It changes your posture. It changes how you deal with other people because in your mindset, it's already done. Even though I'm right here today, say my tomorrow is not going to reflect where I am right now. I'm changing. It's changing for me. So it's not about it happening instantly. It's not about it happening immediately. You just got to know that it's going to happen. So some of you've been looking and some people have been looking and laughing at you. I love it when people think I'm about to fail. I love it. How can I fail since God is for me? Keep on waiting. Keep on watching. You will fail before I fail. You will go down before I'll go down. You keep waiting on me to fail. You keep believing. See how that belief works out for you. Say, God is for me, and I'm about to come through. You're about to come through. I say, you're about to come through. Let them laugh. Let them wait, right? Because if I don't receive what they believe or saying, it don't affect my outcome at all. It affects them. It affects them. Watch this. So are there times when you have to respond to the devil or to people being used by the devil? Responding to them, who believe and expect your end to be negative. Yeah, that's sometimes that you got to respond to them. How do you do it? We're going to look at that today. How should you be responding to situations? Situations talk to you sometimes. When the devil wants to use a doctor to put fear in you, he shows you your x-rays and MRIs. Now, you have to believe that. And he's trying to put what he classifies, I ain't against no doctors, don't hear what I'm saying. But it can put fear in you and it'll put you in an impossible position. It ain't no cure for this that you know of. But can God do something different? Can God heal you with no surgery? So he'll show you the pictures and he'll point the diagnosis out. And the minute that you start confessing that over yourself, you put stuff in operation. Because we talk about what we believe. Okay, you don't want to play. We talk about authoritatively, he's the best doctor in the city. So we're giving him credibility that he can't be wrong. Or that God, I don't know what I'm, but that God can't flip it around. That God can't reach his hand down from heaven into your little body and twist some stuff around, and before you know it, ain't no sickness there. Say, come on, Jesus. God can do the impossible with impossible situations. And that's why he asks Abraham, is there anything too hard for God? We know the answer is what? An emphatic no. Say no, 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 no. The Lord said you should respond when the devil starts saying you don't deserve a move of God. You put yourself in this condition. If you had been eating better or living better, if you had been a better husband or a better wife, if you had went to college or if you hadn't wasted your money. And so when God get ready to bless you, sometimes people ain't always happy for you and they be talking against you. And God say, respond to these devils like this. They respond to the devil. I don't deserve it, but since the Lord is for me, I should be expecting him to come through for me. God is getting ready to come through for some of you. I don't deserve it, but since he for me, why wouldn't I appropriate that right? Why wouldn't I look for him to come through? Why wouldn't I expect him to heal me? Why should I look for lack? No, he's the God of the abundance. Say, God is coming through for me three times. He's coming through for you. Is your personal response important? So we talked about last week, God will give you what to say, but he won't talk for you. And then I explained why I can't stand to see women talking for their husbands. Well, you got a grown son with a mustache and you up here talking for him. Close your mouth. I wasn't talking to you. God won't talk for you. He'll tell you what to say, and you must say it. He'll tell you how to control darkness. He'll show you how to shift your position in life. It starts with you finding out what he says and doing what? Giving voice to God's word with your voice. You remember that? Giving voice. Say that. Giving voice to God's word with my voice. He won't talk for you. Now, people have always, not everybody, but there are some people who don't believe in it, but yet they do it all the time. They're consistently confessing things and talking about it, and then their life is shaped like that because they discredit their ability to do anything with their God-given ability. It's built in you. It says built in me. So, you have to respond because you give voice to God's word. And in Mark 11, Jesus 22, and Jesus answered and said unto them, he's talking to them because he just cursed the fig tree. He walks past the fig tree. He runs to the fig tree first because he's hungry. And when he got to the fig tree had no fruit, even though it had leaves on it. Which is indicative to say that sometimes we be perpetrating a fraud. We look, we have the appearance that we in a place in God, but we don't have no fruit to substantiate that. So Jesus comes to the tree. The tree don't have no fruit. It gave the appearance that it should have had something that it didn't have. Do you know you shouldn't come to church and act like you in some spiritual condition and you in a worse condition? You acknowledge where you at so you can know how to release the right words to come out of it. And so Jesus said, no man will ever eat from you ever again. No man will ever eat from you again. What is he doing? He's prophesying to that tree. He's prophesying to that tree. And he went on about his business. He did something else in another place, another town. They came back through. And when they came back through, they saw the tree had been withered. It wasn't dying. It was dead. Why? Jesus never talks to fruit. He only talked to the roots. He never He never treats you by talking to your fruitlessness. He'll start dealing with the fact that something is wrong with your root. You got a root problem. If there's no fruit on the tree, you don't have a tree problem. You got a root problem. As you start treating the roots, you don't go and spray stuff on the tree. You start dealing with the root of it. God is going to deal with some of your roots today. He's going to show you how to come from the back of the line to the front of the line. How to come out the sick line to the healing line. How to come out the poor line to the abundant line. How to come out the mind messed up line to the I got the mind of Christ line. You understand? There's two lines. You choose which one you want to stay in. And so he's telling them, he says, have faith in God. He said, have faith in God. So if you have faith in God, you must have equal faith in his word. So when I wasn't just ranting when I was telling you in the beginning, you know, you have to be in the word of God and you have to have the right word at the right time, at the right season. Are you following me? So if you don't have a word at all, you can't be running around talking about you believing God, because him and his word is equal. Say amen or oh my. And many people come to church, they always talk about they believe in God for this, believe in God for that, believing. But what's the word? They ain't got no word to support it. Because they don't give the Bible really the credibility that they say they give the Bible. They just like talking, I'm a believer. Well, what you believing? And where is it substantiated in? Because God only honors his word. That's why I knew that young man was lying when he was talking about God gave him a revelation that he shouldn't be tithing, because there's nowhere in the Bible where God ever told a man to stop. So he's a liar. If he had had a word to substantiate that from the scriptures, then I can believe that God was talking to him spiritually. You know that many people are talking to demons and they think they're talking to the Holy Ghost. And I know they ain't talking to the Holy Ghost, because they can't open up the book and find nothing to substantiate what they said God told them. No, the God of this world is what's talking to you. If you don't have a word to substantiate it. That's your imagination, ma'am. That's your imagination, sir. That's your imagination. But God didn't tell you that, because you don't have no word to stand on to substantiate it. Are y'all in Mark? Let me get there. I be writing stuff everywhere. I better not look at it, because I'll be trying to preach here in a second. Let me just tell you what I got. So he said unto them, he says, verily I say unto you, watch this, that whosoever, say I'm a whosoever, say I'm a whosoever, shall say, that's one, unto this mountain, or prophesying to it. Because the mountain represent problems. Whoever got the courage to stand in front of it boldly and look stupid before man, they shall, well, are you following me? He says, it shall be removed. Say, put the word on it, put the word on it, put the word. So anyone who yields his voice to the authority of God's word in faith, watch this, can use that authority of God on any problem, and the problem must obey. So if you're sick, you find scriptures on sickness. You use that word over your sickness. I'm prophesying healing, because it says, by his stripes I am healed. If I am healed, then I was healed. And if I was healed, I am healed right now. By his stripes you were healed. If you were healed, then you are healed. He became poor that you can be sick. So I don't just settle in the fact that none of my people never had money and ain't got money now. He said he became poor that I can become rich or abundantly supplied. It don't mean that you got to outpace Bill Gates, but he solves all of your economic issues. Can God do all that? So I find that word and I begin to prophesy that word over my problem. If my mate is out of control, the Bible says that if one be saved, the whole household be saved. If you got unruly children up in there, if one be saved, the whole household is saved. So by virtue of that scripture, I can prophesy them out of the strip clubs, out of marijuana, out of crack, out of drugs, out of some pornography or whatever it is. I can call them right out of that. And so we'll be tap dancing around it. And then watch this, he says. Watch this. He says, using the authority of God's word, and the problems must obey. Say, sickness, you got to obey. Say, poverty, obey. Disease, obey. Harassing demons, obey. Do you know sometimes when God starts taking you up, the devil will send you like harassing demons? Every time you call yourself getting a revelation, I guarantee you it's followed by some type of demonic harassment. Paul went to the third heaven and God showed him things that were never seen or heard in the earth. And when he got back, the devil sent him a messenger of Satan. Not Satan, but he sent him a messenger from Satan to fight against revelation. So many times people think they got powerful revelation, but no demonic attack or follow, no harassment. That's their imagination. But when you really get a word from God, you can expect the enemies to start harassing you about the revelation. Because he know you don't really heard from God now, and that word is going to work for you. I'm telling you, some of you got some words right now that you're being harassed because you were right in what you heard. You're going through by not because of what you did, you because you was in a right place with God and God started meeting you. So he got to break your focus. He got to break your concentration. He got to make you become undisciplined. If God is for me, why am I going through this? If God is for me, why is this happening in my family? If God, would your resident be somebody else's family? If God is for me, why we got to deal with this? No, because much given, much is required. Say, I can handle it. I can handle it. You can handle it. You can handle it. He says, and be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart. See, when the devil comes at you, if you don't have a word to fight against, then that makes you believe what you're hearing. If you empty, it explains, if you spiritually empty with this, it explains why you doubt everything. Did you get that? If you got something in that place, he can't place nothing there. If you empty, you doubt everything. I'm going to die tomorrow. The car going to hit me. The car going to flip over. The plane going to crash. They going to find me. Because you don't have no word in you. You don't have enough to substantiate where you say you want to go. So he places doubt there. He starts talking to you. And guess what? If you don't have nothing to counteract it, guess what? Most of the time, people believe the first thing they hear. That's why news reporters rush to the scene. It's not always true. They are controlling the narrative. So I'm going to put the word there. I'm going to be putting the word there. Watch this. Let me give you this first. God said, some of you, you've taken enough abuse in life. Do something about it. Well, who am I talking to? You've been harassed. You've taken enough demonic harassment. Prophesy to that situation. Speak to that situation in Jesus' name. He says you've worked through enough criticism, but you ain't been effective because the criticism was affecting you. You have to be able to place to fight the good fight of faith. You fight the good fight of faith when what you know is being challenged. That's when you're fighting the good fight of faith. When you've been challenged about healing or provision or deliverance or just your simple sanity. You'd be shocked at the people that sit right in church in many cases, and really, it'd be mental things. It'd be mental things. Okay, if they not demonically possessed, then they could handle that situation by putting the word of God on it. But it is mental. He's attacking them. God is freeing somebody's mind as I'm speaking. But he attacks you mentally and emotionally. But ain't no demon to really cast out. What's happening? You're listening to the devil too much. If you have put the word of God in that spot, your mind, your soul will begin to be strengthened. And people will sit right in church and reject the word to strengthen them to believe a dumb devil. Believe what the devil is saying about them. And God be trying to help them, and they will say, God is here to help me today. God is here to. So don't just stand around looking at the situation. Say, prophetically speak to it. I'm going to show you some scriptures to support it. He said, the devil is counting on you to do nothing. The Lord says, surprise the enemy. Say, surprise the enemy. He think it's supposed to be like all the other times. He's used to you doing nothing. Where you just sit there and watch. Come to church and watch. Come to whatever and watch. Won't speak to it when you get home. Go to home, go to a room, separate from people that care about you. He wants you to just watch till you're depressed, until you're out of the game. But God says he wants you to prophetically speak to it. Say, speak to it, speak to it, speak to it. The devil done put some of us in situations where we want to quit jobs. Quit our family, quit our marriages, just get in the car. You ever want to just get in your car and drive, keep on driving past it and just till you run out of gas someplace, five states over? No, you being controlled by the enemy. He in your head then. You take control of them thoughts. You take control over those thoughts and say, fight back this time, fight back this time. Because the devil is counting on you saying nothing. If you don't say anything, he gonna control the narrative, and he gonna keep talking to you until you not able to talk. Are you following me? He wants you to do nothing. He wants you to be silent. He wants you to watch this. He wants you to forfeit your right to change things around you. Shout, my words are my weapon. Say, God's word in my mouth is a weapon. And that's why you can say, it shall be, it shall happen, it shall come to pass. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It shall not overtake me. It shall not kill me. It shall not, because God has promised certain things he's going to do for us, right? It shall not destroy me. It shall not kill me. And so we have to be in a place where we started using God's word as the weapon. Go to 2 Peter 1, please. This time you're going to win. I hear that so loud. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This time you're going to win. This is not going to be like the last time. This time you're going to come out all right. This time you're going to go through the fire. You ain't going to come out smelling like no smoke. Come out the battle and ain't going to be scarred. Ain't going to be messed up in no way, not mentally, not emotionally, nothing from the instant going to follow you forward. Say, I'm going to be free, totally free. 1 Peter 1, did I give y'all a title? It's shifting your position with the word of God. Shifting your position. Wherever you at, if you don't like it, you can change gears. And get out of it. You can change locations and get out of it. We've made it harder than what it is, bro. And in many cases, people running around following a faulty word. It's faulty because they're not using the word. That's what makes a word faulty, when they don't use God's word. I didn't say their intentions wasn't right. I'm saying that it's faulty if you're trying to change it and you're not using his word. Are you in 1 Peter? Go to 19. Go to 19. Yeah. Can you put it up there? 1 and 19. No, I get it. I'll find it. I got it. They sleep in the day. You got it? Yeah. He says, I love these screens because then I can just keep on rolling. He says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Okay, there we go. So we have also a more sure word of prophecy. You have it. It's in your hand. It's on your phone. The sure word of prophecy is written. This can't fail. And that's why when you put it in your mouth and you use it against your mountain, it's surely going to turn out favorably for you. Because it's a sure word. It ain't like it's a hit and miss. God's word, Sister Sanders, works every single time. Never fails. It's a sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed. I can't stay too long, but Jesus talked about this. Jesus talked about take heed of what you hear and then take heed how you hear. Because when you're trying to receive a word from God, the real onus ain't always on the speaker, it's on the hearer. So you want to take heed how you hear the word of God to really get the maximum effect out of it. So a lot of times, people are not even paying attention when they come to church. They're not taking heed what they hear and how they hear it. So how can you apply something that you ain't even listening to? Now, how's somebody going to help you? Huh? How can somebody help you? And then we'll use verbs like that church. That church means you already outside the circle. It ain't that church. You have to take heed. Say, take heed. What you hear, meaning you shouldn't be listening to everybody. And then take heed how you hear. You have to be concentrated and focused. You have to be disciplined in your listening. Are you following what I'm saying? And then you have to have an expectation on what you're hearing. If you expect the word to do nothing for you, it'll work for you 100% of the time. Say, God wanted to work for me. He says, as a light that shineth in dark places until the day dawns and the day star arises in their heart. So the point is, God's word has a prophetic nature. All of his word. See, so while we're running around looking for an individual, we could have already done had that mountain gone. You could have already done turned that situation around. If I don't know where it's at, you got a concordance, baby. You got a concordance. Everything is on the internet now. You can pull the Bible up. You can type in a word in there for healing or deliverance or sickness or money or poverty or whatever it is, and they'll give you 100 different scriptures to pull up on it. You ain't got no excuse. You just won't pull it up. But his word is prophetic in nature. So you were running around looking for somebody to give you a word that really ain't got a word from you, and it don't make them false. It don't mean so you can't squeeze blood out of a lemon. If they don't have a word for you, they just ain't got a word for you. Leave them alone. Get your concordance, find your sure word, and say, I'm gonna speak this over my life until my body heal. I'm gonna talk this to my mind until my mind is strong. I'm gonna pray this over my husband until he deliver. I'm gonna call this over my child until he out the club, until she off the pole, until she off a crack, until my change come, I'm gonna use a sure word. So it's prophetic in nature. And that's what God says to tell you. His word has more authority than your situation. His word does. Has more authority than what you're dealing with. So I'm going to use the word. It has more power than any person on the earth. This is why David says, why should I fear man? His word can control a situation. If they ain't treating you right, you better get right, because I'm going to put this word on you and you might be looking for another job. I don't want you to lose your job. I just want you to treat me right. But if not, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to not fear no man though. What they should do to me. The Bible talks about this. Say, his word has more authority than my situation. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with him. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made. 14 says this, and then that Word became flesh. The Word became, flesh. When God spoke the Word, prophetically, the word produced naturally. The word became flesh. I'm trying to get this in you real strong. The word became what he wanted to show up. You can use the same principle because you are an heir. Are you following me? Of the king and the kingdom. You can use the same principle in the same pattern. As a matter of fact, it's all throughout the scripture where various people did the exact same thing. In the beginning was the word. The word is God. That's what makes it prophetic in nature. Anything that God wants it to be, it can become. You need to find out what he said about it, and then you say it. Are you following me at all? Are you too hot? Are you tired? You use the pattern that he set, and then things start shifting in your favor. In the beginning was the word. All you got a messed up situation, but you got the word. If you got the word, your change is coming. My change is coming. And it dwelt amongst us. And so John said that the word became. That's somebody's word today. God said the word has, God has given you. He says it's in your spirit, and he put it there. You put it in your mouth. Watch this. He says it's powerful enough to take down your enemies. It's powerful enough to take down my enemies. Whatever is fighting against you, he says it's powerful enough to deal with that. You don't have to go crazy on people. You put his word out there, say it can take down enemies. He says, and you're to release it in battle. When you're in a fight, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and the rulers of darkness. So if I'm in a spiritual battle, then my job is to release that word in that battle. I find out what God has said, and I'm going to release that word in that battle. I'm going to release that word in that atmosphere, and my change is going to come. That's why some of our situations have been prolonged, because we won't do it. We'll rather look at it. It's not going to go away by you looking at it. I can guarantee you that. I guarantee you, as long as you look at it, the longer you look at it, you'll come up with your own imaginations. You'll start figuring out every reason why it can't work. Say it's working together for my good. It's working together for my good. So if you're still dealing with prolonged situations, you haven't found a word that you believe in enough to release in battle. That's why you need to have your own scripture. See, certain scriptures, you ever found a scripture just speak to you? Other people read it, it don't do nothing for them. But when you read it, man, you just, something just happening to you. It's like you get a boost, whatever the case may be. And it ain't like you even try hard to memorize it. You can just, bah, 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 bah. It just come out of you. Why? You got a word. God done gave you a word. Everybody's word ain't going to necessarily be the same for the same situation. But say, I need a word. God is giving you a word today. He's giving you a word today. Say, I'm shifting my position with the word of God. Let's look at, let me finish a little bit of that. So he says, In him was the life, and the life was the light or the direction of man. That's why I had to go a little bit further. The life was the light. The life, the light is the direction. So if you got the Spirit of God, you got God's direction. That's for somebody who act like you don't know what to do. If you got his light, then you have direction. You just need to know how to respond to it. And it'll shine into dark places. And it said that the darkness comprehended it not, or it couldn't stop the word. So why am I emphasizing this? Can you give me 5 minutes? I'm about done. Five minutes, I'm done. Six. No matter how bad a situation is, I had to give it like I got it. You never out of it. If you woke up today, you haven't lost yet. Waking up should give you hope that God given me another day to deal with this. But I don't look at it like I'm out of it. Like it ain't never gonna change. Like I'm gonna always be in this condition. They never gonna change. Impossible situations, if we'll believe like this, it creates possibility for reversal. You hear people say, God'll turn it around. You know, late in the midnight hour, God'll turn it around. Really, you start it. You really the one who starts it by releasing and giving your voice to his word, because that means that you believe it now. You have a word, which is him. He is the word that you believe in, and you start the reversal. So words that that we believe and that we release prophetically, once this, they result in manifestation. Go to Romans 4. It results in a manifestation. I think I'll stop in this little chapter right here, maybe. 17, it says this. I got hot. He says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Even God who quickeneth the dead or give life to dead things. He calls things that be not as though they were. Everybody wants to just tear that scripture up and beat it down. But really everybody do it all the time. Everybody do it all the time. And so, who against hope believed in hope. Who against hope believed in hope. So when your perspective seems impossible, you got to believe God and go for it anyway. When I'm looking at my perspective says that it can't change, I got to do like Abraham and just go for it anyway. If people tell you there's no hope for it, then what do you have to lose by going for it? What do you really lose if you just go for it anyway? Tell somebody, say, go, God say, go for it anyway. Go for it anyway. He says that he might become the father of many nations. According to what which was spoken, he says, so shall thy seed be. So the whole time Abraham is dealing with a prophetic word. Now, we just showed you and Peter that you got a sure word of prophecy. Abraham had a sure word because God done told him this. Some of you sitting on your word. You don't believe it no more your own self, but you know you heard God the first time. Do you know why I say you heard God the first time? Because God never repeats himself. God knows everything, and he know you heard him the first time. He know you heard him 5 years ago. And do you know you heard him 5 years ago? Because you've never forgotten it. It's like it's etched in your spirit, and you only heard God say it one time. So what people be looking, they be looking for God to keep telling them the same thing over and over, but God won't repeat himself because God knows everything, and he know you heard him the first time. So while you sitting around waiting for another word, tell somebody, say, go for it, go for it, go for it. You heard him right the first time. So Abraham is dealing with this word, and he says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his body's limitations. He did not, watch this, he did not reflect on the facts. See, you think you're too old. You think you don't got enough. You don't think you have enough money. You don't think you don't have enough education. You don't have the right backing. You don't have the right family support. You know, so some people be saying, if my wife will support me, I can do better. If your wife was supporting you, you would be doing the same thing you're doing right now. Because if you can't do it without encouragement and you don't hear God, you ain't going to do it with encouragement. You heard God and you won't obey God, you ain't finna listen to some woman or some man. So he says he didn't consider his own body being proximately dead, and he didn't even think about Sarah's womb anymore. The deadness of her womb. What did he do? He staggered not at the promises through unbelief, but he's what? Strong in faith, and he just gave God, glory to God anyway. I dare about three people to jump up and give God glory for your situation. You're going to sit back down, but give him glory for your situation happening anyhow. So I got to finish this. See, every time you praise God and every time you give God glory and it looks like it's a hopeless situation and you start prophesying to it, you believe in God going to accomplish it anyway. Every time you lift up your voice and just start saying it is so, you believe that it's going to happen for you anyhow. And you're not worried about the facts. See, I'm only worried what God says. I'm only going to believe. And so he didn't count it. I wanted to go to a few more places. I don't have the time. But I'm telling you today, you got to stop deliberating and debating and just go for it. And you're going to go for it first by, that's my time. I knew I had a few seconds. Come on, clap your hand real good. My time is up. I thank you for yours. Tell three people, say, go for it. Go for it anyway. Go for it anyway. Go for it anyway. Talk yourself out of that dark cave. Start prophesying yourself out of valley. Say, go for it anyway. If everybody walk off and leave you, say, go for it anyway. If you don't have nobody to encourage you, stand in the mirror and start prophesying healing over your own body. If you can't find nobody to believe with you, start encouraging yourself that all things are working together for my good. God has given us a unique ability. I'll finish this next week. But God has given you a unique ability, built-in ability to handle any situation. You just got to be willing to do for it. Do it. You got to be willing to just open up your mouth and declare the word of the Lord over it. If you did that over the next month, I guarantee you, you see some things start shifting in your favor. I guarantee you, you start seeing doctors' reports being altered because you done got the word in the atmosphere. I guarantee you that if you start doing it, you'll start seeing economic doors open for you and abilities and things presenting to you, presenting themselves to you that wasn't available to you before you start prophetically declaring them to be open. Some of you need resources and income. Hey, start popping them bills on the table in your wallet and pocketbook and start releasing your income so it'll come to you. Whether it be your family, whether it be financial, whether it be physical, you got a word for it. Do you hear me? I say you got a word for it. Don't let the devil bamboozle you. Don't let people trick you. You got a word for it. You shifting your life from one location to another. Father, we thank you right now for every single word that you've uttered today. We thank you that you've given us enough of what we need to win going forward. We thank you right now, God, for this precious gift that you placed on the inside of us. We thank you for the word that can be your words that can be released into whatever situation that's negative and turn it into a positive, that it'll work together for my good. Thank you that you placed us in a season of winning. Thank you that you put us in a season of better. Thank that you put us in a place of healing, a season of healing, and you've given us the instructions on how to get it done. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the built-in power in your word. Thank you for the deliverance in your word. We thank you for you being the word. In Jesus' name, come on, give the Lord a good hand of praise.